If you are dead to sin. How many times a day can you sin if you're dead to sin? None. Now then somebody says, you know, I sure would like to see Jesus raise somebody from the dead. We see risings from the dead all too often. Y'all know what I mean? All too often. Just like the other day. Sharon's one of our prayer warriors. She came out of her office, "Pastor, why can't these people get it? I prayed for this guy and he don't get it." I said, "Sharon, I remember when you were sick and I had to teach you the word and you didn't get it. I had to pound it into you." "Oh yeah," she says, "that's right." Isn't it easy to forget when we were back there? We were there. She was there and she was sick. Brain tumors. Back wouldn't work. Arm wouldn't work. Hip wouldn't work. I mean, this girl had been in excruciating pain and in the doctor's office two or three times a week for years, 20-something years, and couldn't get healed. But she never heard the concept of repenting of sin. So I had her go back in her life to find out what sin she committed before all this started. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit convicted her and she remembered what she had done wrong. Isn't that amazing? And then she repented. And then we took the word and then we prayed a prayer of faith over her and she got well. So what does that tell you? She really got rid of her sin. And she got well. And she believed. Now, sometimes people get rid of their sin, but the unbelief. When Jesus went to his own hometown, there he could do no mighty works of healing because of their unbelief. So he went about teaching. Why do you think I spend 4 hours on Saturday teaching you these principles? How does faith come? By hearing God's word, learning the promises. Now then, if he says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin, that's where we have a problem. We need to learn how to stay dead to sin. We don't want to resurrect this beast. Because when you resurrect him, you get in trouble. And that you should live under righteousness. And then if you meet all of that criteria from verse 21 down right there, he says, by whose stripes you are healed. So when you get rid of sin and claim the promises of God, now think about this. If this becomes a reality to you, what I've taught you in the last few minutes, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus bore your sin and bore your sickness and removed your disease. If you know that, young lady, that he removed that, then it's already done, isn't it? Then if you got a problem, all you got to do is say, okay, I've not met your criteria somewhere. There's got to be a sin. So Lord, let me repent of that sin. You please remind me what that sin is. And immediately he does. And then when he reminds you, don't do like some of us do. Oh, now, God, that couldn't be my sin. Like a lady over in Norway the other day, she came up and I said, you got all your sins repented of? Absolutely. I said, okay, we'll pray for you and the Lord will heal you. I said, now then, if your pain gets worse, you didn't find the sin. There's still a sin and you're going to have to find it. Well, we prayed for her and the next morning when she got up, she was in terrible pain. And so she said, Lord, well, I thought I'd repented of every sin. What have I done that does not please you? And immediately a sin she had committed 13 years ago came to her mind. Now, who do you think brought that to her? The Holy Spirit. She immediately repented of the sin and then claimed the promises of God. And when she came back to church that night, guess what? She was healed. See? She got rid of the sin, claimed the promises of God by faith, and it worked. And she's healed. Now then, if you get rid of all the sin, and you get rid of all the strife, all the unforgiveness, and you get rid of that tongue, that problem you got in there, you get rid of all that, and you stay dead to sin, and claim that promises, by his stripes I'm healed. It's done now, Lord. You don't need anybody to pray for you. You know that? You can pray for yourself. But do you know what most people can't do? Most people cannot pray for themselves because they don't believe. Now then, Jesus knew that. That's why he gave us Matthew 18:19. Matthew 18:19, let's look at this magnificent promise in Matthew 18:19, and let's see what the Lord said to do here. In Matthew 18:19, Matthew 18:19, Jesus said, I also tell you this, if two of you shall agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Why did he tell us, two of us? And we go back into Ecclesiastes, we find out a twofold cord is not easily broken. But if it's threefold, it's even harder to break, isn't it? So the more you have praying for you that's praying for you in faith, what do you think the chances of your getting healed are? Better. As long as they're all praying in faith and believing. Now then, I see this all the time. People come up and pray for people, and I mean, the whole church is praying for somebody. And I get one of them off to the side, and I say, you believe that man's going to be healed we prayed for in there a while ago? She says, I sure do hope so. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Absolutely. Well, I hope so. Well, if it's God's will. If it's God's will, maybe he'll do it for her. No. There ain't no faith in that, is there? None. Not none. None. Now, if a whole church is praying like that, and I've seen it when the whole church prayed like that, and they don't get it. But if the whole church, actually don't need the whole church, if you just got two or three that are really praying in faith, what's going to happen? It's going to happen. If they got rid of the sin, it's going to happen. It's like we go back to Sharon again. That time whenever I asked Sharon, I said, well, Sharon, she came up to me, and this is a statement she made to me. She said, Pastor, I want you to know, before you pray for me, I've been prayed for 100 times or more, and nothing has ever happened. She said, now I go to a great big church here in the Metroplex, thousands of people in that church. Been prayed for 100+ times with no results. Now that would be real easy to say, well, it's not God's will to heal that girl. Wouldn't that make good sense, Sharon? Well, I mean, don't you believe God's a healer? Oh, yeah, well, what about her? Well, we prayed for her 100 times, and he ain't never done nothing. So it couldn't be our fault. It's got to be God's fault. No, the Scripture said it is his will to heal her, didn't it? He's already bore her sickness and removed her disease. So what is the problem? A lot of problem. That's right. Cheryl said, we haven't dealt with the sin yet. And that's right. We haven't. She had not ever thought about the sin. Now, I don't know, 40-year-old girl, whatever you were at the time when you came to me. I don't know about, you were about that, right? Oh, you were 50 at that time? Okay, well, I didn't think you were, okay. I mean, you're 50 now, right?
No, 56 now.
Oh, my lands. Okay. Okay, so she was 50 then. Okay, I didn't know. But wouldn't you find it hard to believe that a beautiful 50-year-old woman would ever had a problem with sin in her life? That's almost impossible for a girl to have sin, right? All y'all are laughing like, hey, it'd be real easy to have sin in your life, right? Well, why do you think she couldn't get healed? Because of sin in her life. Now, she'd never heard this concept. So we went back to before all the problems started when she was a young woman, and we found out some sins she had committed, and she repented of all those sins. And I told her, I said, now then, what scripture have you been using to base your faith on? Now, Jeremiah 1:12 makes this promise. I want us to go to that Jeremiah 1:12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now, whose word is he going to perform?
His word.
It don't make a whole lot of difference what you and me say, does it? Our words don't count for nothing unless they're his words. When we speak his words, I asked Sharon, I said, what scripture had you used to base your faith on? Well, we never used a scripture. And I said, and you see what you got. What'd she get in 100 prayers? Nothing. She still had her brain tumors, her arm problems, her back problems, her hip problems. She had so many problems, it's unreal what she had. That's why I refer to Sharon as my basket case. Now, I've had several basket cases, but she was one of them. You know, when I think about a basket case, used to, when I was, a long time ago, when I used to do a lot of work on light airplanes, I'd love to buy a little old airplane, you know, one of them little ones that somebody else had tore all apart, and it's got pieces everywhere, and it's what we call walk into the garage, and it's a basket case. You haul it out in baskets, and you take it somewhere, and you clean and paint and fix every piece and put it back together, and two or three or 4,000 hours later, $1 million worth of labor later, you've got an airplane worth $10,000. Guys do that all the time. But those were our basket cases. We loved working on those things. But I don't have time for that no more. I just don't have time for that. But anyway, I said, what scripture did you use, Sharon, to base your faith on? Well, we didn't use a scripture. I said, well, you got to have one. You got to have one of these promises. Now, do you remember what scripture we used?
Matthew 18.
We used Matthew 18:19. Okay, let's go back to that Matthew 18:19 that we were at just a minute ago, and let's see what it said. Matthew 18:19, the Lord says, I also tell you this, if two of you agree down here on earth as concerning anything you ask my Father in heaven, he will do it for you. For where two or three gather together because they are mine, I am there among them. So how many of us are gathered here today? More than two or three? So do you think the King's with us?
Yes.
Absolutely. He's here. Guarantee you. I asked a man that one day was coming into the healing school, and he walked in. I said, well, you believe Jesus is going to be here today? He said, no, I don't believe he's going to be here. I know he's going to be here. I said, how do you know he's going to be here? He said, I brought him with me. I thought, praise God, there's a man that knows who he is in Christ. I know he's going to be here because I brought him with me, he said. And so, but every one of us that are born again, we brought him with us, didn't we? So we know Jesus is here today, and he's here to watch over and perform his word. He's always here to perform and watch over his word. So when we took to Matthew 18:19 and we prayed and asked the Lord to deliver her, set her free from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet after she got her sin repented of, I told her, I said, now then, you've repented of the sin. We found a scripture that'll work, and now we're going to pray the prayer of faith.
We're going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, This Book Is Alive, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.